5, 4, 3, 2. This is Flowing with Famous You're All Fresno podcast with me, Joshua Teehee, and as always, Mike C of the Dorktown Network of Podcasts.
Hey.
How are you?
I
was trying to slow down the intro a little bit. So
oh, okay.
I don't know if you noticed that.
Yeah, I totally, and, totally. Yeah, I just want to say I empathize with anyone that's gone through this Fresno flu.
The Fresno flu.
I'm in the middle of it. I'm on like day 6, and it's still
is
not going
like
away.
H1N3 or something?
Is I don't know. I didn't get specifically diagnosed, but you know, I'm not a go to the doctor kind of guy. So yeah, yeah. You know, I'm an idiot. So I don't really want to get loaded up with antibiotics.
You're
like,
not supposed
every
to go.
Time I get
are
sick.
You?
I that's are you, see that's what I saw on the B was like something was like yeah. Yeah, if you're planning on going to the doctor,
if you're sick, don't go.
Eat shit, you know.
Yeah, they say just rest.
Right. They're just like stay. They're like saying stay the hell out of doctor's offices right now.
Right.
I was like, all right, I will.
Yeah.
I don't need an excuse.
There's the flu is happening, and then there's also like some kind of stomach bug that was going around for a bit that everyone was getting. It was scary.
That one I
it
think
was
I must
time.
Have missed.
Or yeah, I
just chalked up to being
them.
Hungover. I don't know.
I missed both of them, knock on wood. I'm probably going to be sick tomorrow, but
yeah.
I feel fine right now. So
see, that's what I thought I was saying, and then the wife got it, but I seem to miss all like – I don't know. I don't get that sick very often, and not because I take great care of myself,
right.
Just because it just I don't know why. And so I'm just like,
you played with dirt as a kid. That's
she was,
why.
Yeah, probably. I did all my proper valley floor. I got all my valley floor minerals in me early.
Right, right. That's right. That's right.
But so she was sick, and I was like, oh, that sucks. You're sick, and I'm like, I'm not going to get sick.
Right. Sucks to be you.
Yeah, it sucks, man. Can I get you a drink? No? Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
And I figured that was going to be as much as I'd have to endure with all this flu stuff, and then it came. It came for me.
Womp. Well, there you go.
But I opened myself up for it because I was like 3-day binge drinking, not binge drinking, but like leading up for the Queens of Stone Age. I had a couple friends in town all weekend, and we were just like pretending we were 22 again and stuff.
Oh no, you can't do that.
Oh man, finally caught up to me, and I think that's what happened to me.
All right, well there it is. It's a take care of yourself, I say.
There it is. Just,
we'll
keep your immune system
then,
built up,
yeah,
Fresno,
yeah,
and you'll be fine. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. So, aside from the flu going around, and it was crazy. What else has been going on in Fresno that we need to talk about?
Whoa, man, the Grizzly Fest that we predicted.
Grizzly Fest.
We predicted problems. About Woodward Park. Once they said Woodward Park, we're the first ones out of the gate. We're going to go, problems!
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
You know, if more people listen to the show, I think maybe we might have alerted somebody. But
we probably could.
Because it almost...
Maybe someone listened to it and that was the problem.
I hope not. It almost snuck in there. Like, it almost was just like no one was saying. I was like, oh, looks like they're going to get this in under the wire. And then, then somebody started complaining and Bredefield saw like, oh!
Yeah. Well, so here's what I think happened. So, you know, the promoter is putting on this thing, and he's doing it at Woodward Park, and he wants it to run a little longer than the normal concert typically would go. Sound ordinance is at 10, I think, in the city generally. He wants it to go to midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And he, you know, has his discussions with the city, and I feel like he did his due diligence and really got this all planned out, and they put a lease agreement together for Woodward Park, and everything looked good. And then, you know, as these things happen, there's a vote in city council. And as it comes up before city council, they kind of send out the lease agreement. People can look at it, and we had a look at it over at the B and some of this stuff popped up. And it was actually interesting because among the things, one was this midnight sound ordinance, and the other was the possibility that if this all goes well, they'll have another, there's a possibility for another event in October or something. So it was, you know, we wanted to do a story because it's an interesting thing. Like, hey, this thing is going to happen, but the city council has to vote on it. I think we all know the city council's, you know, you can't ever tell what they're going to do, let's say.
They're a bit unpredictable.
And so we had a reporter at the B, Tim Sheehan, made a call to Bredefeld, and Bredefeld said whatever the hell he said. And it was just fire after that. And so they had the meeting where they were supposed to vote on this thing, and I think it should have been an easy vote. It should have just been like, you know, yeah, we're going to do it, whatever. Suddenly, everybody was coming out of the woodwork to, like, do the public comment. Bredefeld was, you know, saying whatever. And they decided to do a two-week, like, postponement. And they're actually not – they're going to vote on it next week. In the meantime, just everyone started going crazy about the stupid festival and whether or not it should be at Wildwood Park, mm-hmm. whether it should have moved from downtown, how – you know, suddenly everyone was an expert you know.
You know what you should do. You know what you guys haven't thought of.
So you made this your tweet, and it was just awesome. You know, it was about, like, people who, you know, put on events, and at the last minute, someone else comes in and says, hey, you know, it'd be great. Have you guys thought about doing – yes, we thought about doing
– we thought about
whatever it is.
This is what I do all year. As soon as the last festival is over, I started thinking about this festival. Right. And I thought about all the things you're about to say, yes. I'm going to say yes to all the I thought about all those things.
And we're doing it this way for a specific reason.
Right.
Anyway, so it's really interesting. My, you know, so they're voting on it on Thursday. So this upcoming Thursday, probably by the time people are listening to this, the vote will not have happened yet. But if you're listening to it, anyway, interestingly enough, they went back and they kind of came up with a new agreement, and it has some really awesome stuff in it. For instance, now there's penalties. So the proposed sound ordinance will now go to 11:30, which is when the bands would have been done anyway, the two headliners, mm-hmm. Because they're slated to start at 10 and then they play 90 minutes, they'll be done at 11:30. So, but if there's 1 minute, 1 second of amplified sound after 11:30, $1,000 fine. If there
a minute?
Is one, yeah, per minute.
Wow.
If that somehow happens to go on for 10 minutes, for each minute after 11:40, $10,000 fine. Penalty, sorry. It's not a fine. If that somehow they let that go on for another 20 minutes, so it's midnight now, any amplified sound after midnight will be $100,000 per minute. Yeah. Which is just insane. And it's like, cool. That's never going to happen. You know, like,
no.
They're paying $100,000.
They're going to pull the plug.
The whole, promoters
will gladly shut the power off.
Right. They will pull the plug.
I don't care how pissed Snoop Dogg will get. Snoop Dogg's going to really want to play after 11:30 anyway. He's just shut it down.
There's so much about this whole thing that just gets me. And one of them is Snoop Dogg, because that's all anyone could talk about. Even though, like, hello, Foster the People is, you know, another headliner that was playing that no one ever talked about. Everyone seemed to be like, whatever about Snoop Dogg. And as if Snoop Dogg, at this point in his career, is still a freaking gangster or something. Like, I just don't get it. I don't get how anyone can, like, still in this day and age believe that Snoop Dogg is some sort of threat to any, like, the dude is the most mainstream.
Right.
Yes, he may smoke marijuana, cigarettes, jazz. He may be into jazz cigarettes, you know? He doesn't even say Dizzle anymore. No. Like, he's, the dude is like as mainstream as you can get, and yet people are like freaking out, like, oh my God, there's gonna be a shootout at the OK Corral, or, you know, and it's just, it's ridiculous. And then, you know, it perfectly encapsulated to me the reason that Fresno doesn't have cool shit. I mean, it's just like, everything about it, that's exactly why. You have the people in Wilbur Park, like, going, no, we don't want this to happen in our neighborhood. You can't have this kind of thing in our neighborhood. Then you have the people downtown, you know, whatever. Or then you have people who are like, well, I would never go downtown. Downtown is just a ghetto. I can't go downtown. Then you have people downtown going, well, if it's in North Fresno, F that, because it should be down here, because this is where all the cool stuff should happen.
Yeah.
So it's like, wait, nobody wants this thing anyway.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's the whole thing. You can't please everyone. You know, you just can't please anyone, I think, is the, like, nobody apparently wants this thing to happen, except for everyone says that they want it to happen. You know, so you would have, like, the people that don't want it in Wilbur Park are like, well, we want it, we just don't want it in Wilbur Park. And then the people who, you know, want it downtown are like, yeah, we definitely want it, but not at Wilbur Park. And then you have the people who you know, in North Fresno, Clovis, are like, oh man, Grizzly Fest sounds like it would be the greatest thing if it just wasn't downtown. So it's like, what the fuck, people?
Yeah.
Everyone just loves to find faults about stuff instead of thinking, like, okay, how can we help to make this awesome event happen here again and again and again? Because if you look at the lineup, if you look at, like, the type, what they're doing with this event, it, in 2 or 3 years, let's say, if everything goes fine this year and they don't have to, like, deal with this whole process again, this is an event that could, like, compete with Bottle Rock in Napa, or you know, the FYE festival down in LA, or, you know, whatever. In
there's San that High Sierra music festival in the Sierras.
Yes, there is.
I don't know how big that is. I always see it advertised. Right. I know people that have gone to it and stuff, but yeah. I don't know how big that is.
Yeah. It's definitely not. I think it's more of a niche festival, yeah. But, you know, the thing I think that Grizzly Fest has going for it right now is the people that are doing it have a kind of diverse sense of musical taste and what's cool between the various organizers. So they're putting together a festival lineup that's not like anything else. So, you know, if you look at something like Bottle Rock, it's fairly similar in tone to a lot of the other summer festivals that you're going to see.
Where's Bottle Rock again?
Bottle Rock's the one that's in Napa.
Okay.
And I think Bruno Mars is headlining this year with some other people. So it's like it's been around for like 5 years, and it's really like kind of exploded. There's that, what in was the that, last 2 years. Big I one, think they had the Foo Fighters last year.
Uh-huh. What's that big one this year that had Foo Fighters and Queens of the Stone Age in the L.A. area?
That was the, I can't remember, but I think that was actually Dave Grohl's, like, personal thing that he was setting up.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I think that, you know, like, this could compete with those, but, it might even do a little better, because it's like, it's going to be a completely different lineup diversity wise than you're going to see at any other, these other festivals. Mm-hmm. So you're going to see some hip hop mixed in with the rock, mixed in with the reggae. So you're getting, like, truly a eclectic mix that's different than
right.
a and lot I think of the
that,
other.
That just sort of works anymore as I think the younger generation can mix genres better than my generation could.
Right.
And
that's what they want. You know?
I don't think you don't need to have an all like all rock or all hip hop or all this.
Right. Anyway, so I mean, I think what they're doing is really cool, and it seems it's sad that the city can't just step out of the way and, you know, help facilitate this thing, you know. And I know that people in Woodward Park have, you know, they have concerns. They're legitimate concerns, mm-hmm. you know, like, look, I live next to the Rainbow Ballroom, right? Downtown.
Yep.
When the Rainbow Ballroom let out at like, you know, 1 o'clock in the morning, whatever, and everyone was streaming onto the streets and yelling and, you know, peeing next to, like, that is kind of crappy, you know? So I understand some of us have to work
in the morning.
Right. So I completely understand the idea of like not wanting that necessarily in your neighborhood, you know? Okay. I understand not wanting to have, you know, loud music blasting through your windows at whatever time at night, you know. But I feel like, this is the weekend, that's true. The promoters are also, they're trying to mitigate that stuff as much as possible. You know, I think part of what's happening is people don't realize that, like, no, these guys are legit. So they're going to pay to have the police and security mm-hmm. out there, checking people. You know, they're gonna be bussing people from parking places into the thing. They're gonna be,
have you heard about that? Are they gonna be doing that? I'm curious about parking. I've never gone to a amphitheater show. I'm sad to admit, so I'm always curious how bad it is getting in and out of there after a show.
I mean, I've been to several amphitheater shows. It was never bad. It was never like any issue.
Parked in the park like you normally go to Woodward Park?
Yeah, you pay your $5 when you come in and, like, you know, it's no big deal. I assume that for this, I have heard that they will be bussing people in. So I assume that they're probably going to be making deals with some of the business parks around there.
Yeah, there's all those lots across the street
on the weekends.
There's not a whole lot going on.
So I think what they'll probably do is they'll probably be making, you know, have some sort of deals with those business parks. And this is what I've seen in other cities too, like the Aftershock Festival in Sacramento. It's at a park that's kind of in the same, you know, not neighborhood ish, but, you know, it's in the same kind of place. And you park in, you know, the business parks around there, and then you can either walk or they'll have a bus or whatever that can take you. So I assume it'll be the same kind of thing. I think they'll have, you know, security or police, you know, kind of checking cars to make sure they're not parking in the neighborhoods. Mm-hmm. You know,
I almost want to go, if I don't go to Grizzly Fest, that neighborhood on the other side of Alluvial, or not Alluvial, but Friant, the east side of the park, that wall, that big sound wall, that goes along Friant. I kind of want to check out that neighborhood while it's going on and just see if it's different at all.
Yeah,
have you ever heard of that neighborhood complaining about an amphitheater show? I mean, because they're acting like this has never happened. Like, I know the festival has never happened there, but I understand if they've never been a show there. When they first introduced the amphitheater and stuff, and that was sort of an understandable thing. But at this point, there's got to be some comfortability to it.
I have heard from a few people who live in that neighborhood and say that, you can definitely hear noise. You know, and they say that they have issues with people parking and wandering through their neighborhoods and stuff during concert nights or whatever. So, okay. I mean, it does happen. I mean, you know, I'll say that the amphitheater is going to be different than this, I think, because the amphitheater is built to amplify sound. right? So whatever, that's how it works. These stages are going to be set up in such a way, and I guess the Taco Festival that was at Wilbur Park recently, they had bands playing. There wasn't any complaints from anyone about that. And it's going to be set up in the same way so that the sound is...
goes out to the river.
The speakers, yeah. So the sound is going to be set up to go into the crowd and out toward the freeway and out toward the river. So, you know, they're really going to be trying to mitigate that. And I think, you know, there will probably be some sound. There will probably be some complaints. But
see, I would like that. I mean, maybe I'm just cooler than the average Northeast resident, but... I mean, I would dig having, like, hearing a concert in my backyard
to some extent. Right.
I don't know. I understand if it's going on every freaking weekend. I'd be like, all right, that's enough. But it's just
but once the one in week, yeah.
6 months kind of thing. It's just.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I mean, truthfully, I think here's the problem. There's not a big outdoor venue to do this kind of thing at. We don't have like a shoreline. We don't have a shoreline amphitheater. We don't have like a
pawpaw.
You just
got the pawpaw.
We have the pawpaw.
It doesn't work that great for just an event at the pawpaw.
And here's also the thing.
It's the problem. You know,
the city, and I think the city and the promoters, they went to a bunch of places. It wasn't like they just picked Woodward Park out of a hat and they were like, whatever.
They have looked at everything, guys.
When they realized that they couldn't do it at Chichansey, and here's the thing: the reason they couldn't do it at Chichansey is because it doesn't make financial sense for them to do it, because Chichansey is they're a ballpark. First of all, right? And so they're in the middle of their season, right? Mm-hmm. There's soccer's happening, baseball happening. They got to fix that field, you know, every time. And that costs money. And that cuts into the bottom line of the festival. So it makes sense from a financial standpoint. Like, they want to grow the festival. They want to make it bigger every year, better every year. They want to be able to get better acts, bands coming in. So in order to do that, they got to figure out to make it financially feasible. So that involves moving it, right? I mean, that's just the way it is. I don't think Chichansey Park is upset about it. I think it's just everyone realized, this is in order for us, you know, the people to do what they needed to do, this was going to happen. Once that happened, I think they tried out a bunch of different places, you know, and realize that Woodward Park is, you know, the thing. And again, I think this is a trial period. They're going to do it for a year. If it works, they're going to try to figure out a way they can do it, you know, continually there. If it doesn't work, they'll try to figure out another place for it. But I think they're in kind of a hard spot, because there's people who go, put it at Kearney Park, or put it at, you know, wherever, regional sports complex, or, you know, but there's issues with all that. For instance, a lot of people aren't going to go, you know, I mean, maybe in 5 years, if they can, you know, build a festival to the point where they can bring in Bruno Mars or whoever they want to bring in, okay, maybe people will go down there, you know, because there's a lot of people that make the argument like, oh, well, people were going to Chichansey Park. Yeah, a lot of people did go to Chichansey Park for 3 years. A lot of people didn't go. You know, there's a lot of people who were like, oh, I heard about Grizzly Fest. It's cool. I don't know, downtown. You know?
Yep.
So we'll see. The vote is going to happen. I have no doubt that it's going to pass. It's not, you know, going to be a big deal. Bredefeld, whose district is sort of represented, he's going to vote no, because he thinks it's his duty to vote no, even though, you know, he pushed to get all these concessions made. But so we'll see. I think it's going to be a great festival. I'm going to have a good time going out there and seeing it. So there it is.
Yay. Fresno.
Yay.
We need a
Fresno.
Cool. We need to be cool.
We do need to be cool. And that sort of means sucking it up a little bit, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And just, you know, but see, this is the problem. No one wants to suck it up, because everyone thinks, like, everyone feels entitled, you know?
Yeah.
Everyone's like, oh, well, I if they don't care about cool stuff, then they feel like, well, why should I give up my comfort so that other people can have cool stuff, you know?
So it's you gotta realize you're in a society in a city, and Wood River Park is for everybody. It's not just for Northeast Fresno guy. So just accept that the city is going to do stuff and on city property and let it be.
Well, I always go back to, I think there are a lot of people who are just totally okay with Fresno being whatever it is as it is and don't want anything different.
A lot of people are just fine with being a suburb and not
Jara used to, who helped to found this podcast back in the day, when she finally left Fresno, one of the things that was the reason, she was just like, I'm tired of fighting people who don't really care. They're fine with Fresno the way it is. And she's like, maybe it's not my place to try to change it. So, you know, there are still those trying to fight the good fight and those who make it hard. So there it is. Okay. Do you got anything else about the Grizzly Fest?
Nah, well, more to come.
More to come. Yeah, well, I'm sure once they have the vote, there might not actually be more to come until May when the thing happens. Yeah. And that's what I'm hoping. I'm hoping there won't be more to come till May when the event happens, and then we can do a recap or something while we're out there. You want to take a music break?
We got a lot still to talk about, but we're on music break and we're about halfway anyway. So
cool.
It's time for band of the episode.
So these are the Morning Drive is the name of the band, and they recently had their
not a radio show, a band
called the Morning Drive.
Confuse me.
And no, that's okay. They recently had a CD release show at Fulton 55, and it was one of those like old school Fierce Creature type shows. It was, I think they had maybe like 300 people or something there. Yeah. It was enough that they had the upstairs open.
Show at Fulton 55. They open up the upstairs.
So, and that's not something that happens all that often, and it's not something that happens for local shows. So it was really good to see that they had the support come out there for that their album release. Anyway, here's a song. Here's a track. Go.
By the ground, one player not yet been found. Still, we find some faith for the next round. Ran to the wild land, soft touch, long left the man. Your dreams lay on his head, but still, he tries to lay down in his bed. Is a nightmare, but oh my, I'm living the dream. I'm closer to God than I've ever been. And when you see chaos, I found peace. Keep your eyes turned blind. Neglect the weak, they'll disrupt your high. Making you think you took all the land and your wisdom, man. Now you're wondering why there just ain't much love for black girls. We're too down low on the food chain, forgetting our roots.
There it is. Yeah.
Still
cool guys. Really, I mean, the sort of band leader, I've seen out and about a couple of times, and we've talked, and just really cool guy, really cool band, and we need that kind of young energy. And I'd say young. He's younger than me. We're missing that a little bit. You know, those like excited bands who want to put on these awesome local shows and draw people out.
It's probably a mix of both of like me getting older and then the scene.
You're old, man.
Scene not being as doesn't seem as relevant or as big as it was before.
I don't know. Yeah. It's a little harder to find stuff now, yeah. I think.
And rock is dead right now, too, so it kind of makes it weird.
Rock is dead right now. As has been proven by the Queens of the Stone Age, who played at Sound Arena.
Oh, boy, here we are.
Once upon a time, that first of all, I thought it was a great show. I don't know about you.
I did, too. It
was fucking ridiculous. I thought they were great, both bands. Eagles of Death Metal and Queens of the Stone Age were great. I was reminded how much I really like rock music. And how rock music isn't dead. Like it's,
it's just,
they're still there and they're still fucking small. Making some rad ass, great music. The draw just, because I feel like everyone that was into rock music. If you're into rock music, you're in Fresno, you were at that show.
Yeah.
And it was not a lot of people there. I mean,
that was rough, man. That was
half of the,
if that
sound,
not even
it was sad.
Probably not even half.
I wish that there was, so I suppose they could have put that show on maybe like at the Rainbow Ballroom.
Yeah.
And they could have packed it out.
Yeah, Rainbow would have been packed.
It would have been packed to the gills and then some. There would have been a bunch of people in town who couldn't get tickets and would have been pissed. It just wouldn't have, but it would have felt better than having it in
the Warners.
Selling.
Warners?
I don't think Warners would have been big enough. I think
is Warners smaller capacity than Rainbow?
I think because Rainbow has there's
because no you have seats, so much standing so room.
Because I think you can put 2,000 or 3,000 people into maybe not. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. All I know for sure is that I wish there was a slightly smaller space that they could have just packed that thing out because it was kind of hard. I mean, if you were on the floor and close up, it would have been fine.
You
wouldn't have been able to tell.
Right. You might not even realize it.
Right, because you were packed in, And if you were on the floor, it was great. It would have been awesome, and you probably felt really great. Being up in the seats and being able to look around and see, I mean, it was like, you're at the Trump inauguration or something,
Yep.
It was, it wasn't what I would have liked to have seen anyway, especially for a show like that.
Yeah, it was definitely felt. So. But at least Queens of Stone Age, Josh and their seemed to be appreciative and they didn't. But jokes like "What the fuck, guys?" or
right,
or anything like that.
They seemed to be genuinely into it. Everyone there, like that I saw, was just out of their mind, crazy about the show. So, I think it was really good. It was really good. What were we even talking about before that segue?
that was good.
Okay. We're done with that.
What's funny is he did a couple of pictures, the lead singer for Queens of the Stone Age, on his Instagram. Yeah. Uh-huh. But he took a motorcycle in for the show. He drove his motorcycle. He's from high desert outside of LA. So he sort of made several comments during the show. Like he was digging the vibe because he's just like, he's from a small place and stuff.
Yeah.
So one of his Instagram posts, he's like, I'm coming to Fresno right now, and we're gonna call it Fres Yes. Oh no, he's doing it, but he didn't do any of that during the show.
Not during
just
the show.
Just cap it to his Instagram, so it's fine. We'll let it go.
Yeah, no, it's fine. It's on Instagram. Oh man,
Before, but now the fun thing we have for selling the arena shows.
Okay.
We have official pre-concert partying area.
That is true. A place to go.
I happened to see you at House Hot PK. We didn't even plan it.
No, it just happened.
I saw a cool B people table.
It's there because at Hot everyone PK. Was there.
Right.
It's because everyone was there. So this is something that I feel like has been needed for a while, especially, I mean, rock shows. So most of the time, the stuff that happens at the Sound Arena Sorority Theater is a little more highbrow. But for a rock show like this, you need a place you can hang out, a pub, you can go, you can get some beers and whatever. Mm-hmm. And it was the Hot PK, House of Pendragon, which is now open and killing it from everything that I can tell.
We had planned to eat there and then go over to Tioga. And we got there a little after 5, a Hot PK, and we had to wait for a while to get a table at 5. And then it just got completely slammed. Right, and by the time we were done, it was time for the show. We didn't even get to go over to Tioga. I mean,
that's something unique,
it used to be just Tioga.
This is my only complaint about the place, is that it's packed. And I don't like places that are so, I'll go there again. Mm-hmm. And I hope the 2 times I've been there, it was completely packed to the point where the first time I went, it was like a 45-minute wait for a table, but they were like, you can just get food at the bar. So we just went to the bar, and that was a little bit of an issue because it was like, they don't really tell you what you're supposed to do. So there's like a bar, there's the actual bar, and then there's like a little stand-up bar, behind that. And then there's like the table. So if you're at the stand-up bar, you're just there, but you have to order at the actual bar to get the food, like whatever. They don't really tell you that. You just kind of have to figure it out. So we were just kind of standing around for a while trying to figure out like what's going on. And then I know the bartender. So it was like, oh, hey. And we ordered some food. It was no big deal. First time. Second time, same thing. It was like, I go there and like, I was running kind of late. So we were just going to hang out like, hey, whatever. Meet people I was there with before I went. And it was just a ton of people. So I, you know, saunter up to the bar, and it was like, I just stood there for like, I don't know, probably 10 minutes. And the bartenders were working. I mean, it's not like they were ignoring me or anything, but they were just so busy that like, there was no way that I was going to get a beer. So I actually left that night, without getting a beer. Just because I couldn't, you know, because they were, and it didn't bother me. I understand. I was like, I see what's going on here. You're swamped beyond all. I don't think they were probably properly prepared for the crowd that they were going to get, because maybe, this would have been the first time that they've been open during an event like this. Yeah, so
I think that I know that they tried. They were aware of the show. But there's only so many spots. And what was happening is, people were, once they're getting their table, they were just camping and not leaving.
Yeah, yeah.
And I was like, because we were waiting in the bar too for our table, and I was just eyeing tables like, who's going to leave? Who's going to leave? Because we were like for like a half hour. And like, there's these tables just not even ordering anything anymore and just sitting there. I was like, hey, you fuckers.
That's a problem. That's a problem with these kind of places, and I think it's probably the same with the pita kebab in Visalia, which is like, so it's part bar, it's part restaurant, but the bar and the restaurant aren't really like separated. Right. And so, you know, at a bar, it's totally cool to get your food and then sit and then drink and then sit and then maybe get something, maybe not, and then sit and like whatever. That doesn't work necessarily at a restaurant, you know, because at a restaurant, you want to turn those tables over. So it's kind of a weird thing. I still love it. I think it's for downtown, it's a gate. Like, think about this. There's a place downtown that you have to wait an hour to get in.
Yeah.
Like,
it's not cosmopolitan.
And so that's really rad. So let me get your take on this. What is it about? So Beth,
I wonder what the Cosmopolitan was like. Does the Cosmopolitan open on Monday nights?
There was some question about that. I don't know if they were or not.
Okay.
Normally, they're not open on Monday nights.
Oh, okay.
But they might have been for this. So Bethany Clef, with the Fresno Bee, she wrote a story about Hot PK and kind of outlined some stuff about, like, why she thought, or why, you know, it was as successful as it was.
Yeah.
I have my own ideas. Why do you think it's been so successful? Where other similar, you know, because there have been places like that, even in that particular location before, that never quite did as well as this seems to be doing, at least in the first little bit. So what do you think?
Well, like the place that was in there before, not directly before, but before Heroes.
Uh-huh.
I think they did well with that place. Mm-hmm. I think it was just a little ahead of its time.
Yeah, like, okay.
And that's so I think, because I think the Heroes guys did, you know, they renovated the building well and everything looked great and it seemed to be.
Yeah, it looked great.
I remember awesome the food being pretty good, and it was like a good atmosphere. So it was like, but I think it was just a little bit ahead of its time.
You think if that place had been, it moved in there now, it would be.
Yeah, it would do good. It would do well, better than it did before. I think that it just works right now because, downtown's turned around and the Hot PK did, you know, they checked off all the boxes that we like for a restaurant, meaning like if you're not going to be a chain, look like one. Like we like very comfortable settings. And and that's why we gravitate to chains so damn much is because
they're familiar
and comfortable, and we seem like oh, these people know what they're doing because it's whatever, it's a chain. And so when you can accomplish that in a local place like Pismo's
Pismo's
feels like this really cool, good chain restaurant, and it's a local place. So that, and Pismo's is just on fire every night.
Right.
And it, when you can get good food, good atmosphere. And then now you couple that with the craft beer being a big thing, and that's there you get. We've been waiting for that in downtown for forever. We've been talking about it.
Yeah, no, I think like you're 100%. I mean, so Bethany in her story, you know, the thing she pointed out, one of the things was that it had a built-in audience already. So like you have people. House of Pendragon is a known entity. People go to the brewery there in Clovis or whatever. They know what it is in the Taint District, as you like to say.
Taint District, Fresno,
Pita, or Clovis. Pita Kebab.
Some would say.
I had not heard that one. Pita Kebab, also a known entity. You know, a lot of people from Fresno have been to the one in Visalia. There was a food truck. You know, they sort of were smart in that they kind of had been coming up here a little bit with their little food truck and their, I think they had like a little tent or something that they brought out to some events. So they kind of got their food out there a little bit. So people kind of knew, but more than anything for me, I think the thing that you're talking about is like, it's nice, you know, and I put nice in quotes, but like, it's just, it's a normal place, you know, because I think downtown, a lot of times, you know, I loved Peeves. You know, I thought it was a great, great place. The food was awesome, whatever. But it was like, it had its own quirk to it.
Yeah, it's
that like you had to get over.
If you were a normal person,
downtown is fine.
Quote unquote normal.
Right. But.
And normal, I think people, you could say that with Joe's Steakhouse too. Same thing.
Right.
I haven't ate there in a little bit, but the food's always really good when I'm there, and I like that place. But there's stuff you have to overlook, ignore is the right term, but you have to be a downtown person. You're just like, this is cool, and
it has its quirks. Uh-huh. And how the Hot PK is just like that place could be open anywhere in town and it would do great.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's the exact same place that it would be if it was at whatever. Whereas, like, Peeves would not have been able to open any place else. You know? I mean, it just wouldn't, you know?
No.
So, to have a place that could be open in River Park or, you know, even in Clover, whatever, but have it downtown. I mean, I think that's boom. It's gold.
Yep.
So I think that's why it's doing so well. And I'm glad. And I think that it's really a game changer because I think we probably talked about this on the podcast before, which is like, if people are in line for an hour to get into that place, other business owners are going to take note of that.
Mm-hmm.
And they're either going to like steal the idea in terms of like the whatever, or just be open because they know, oh, there's people down here now, you know, because there's people waiting for an hour. So if you can imagine, and there's not a lot of space nearby necessarily, but you know, if there was space for a coffee shop close by. Well, I mean, I guess there is right there.
Joe's is, you could say Joe's is right. A coffee shop. I mean,
So that place could open. Diner. If there was like a, some place, you know, like I could see some place like an Ampersand being open, right?
Yeah.
Close to there. People are waiting in line, at there afterwards. They go to like that. Those kind of synergies are just like ready to happen down there. So I'm super excited. I think it's going to be really good. So we'll have to pay attention in the next couple months here, but I'm looking forward to what's happening.
Okay. I wish Joe's had a limited budget that they could bring back. Cause that Joe's Steakhouse place, this is the, for those that don't go downtown, the place right at the base of the Spiral Garage. Mm-hmm. It used to be that diner. It was like a small chain in town in like the 60s. Mm-hmm. I believe. I can't. Now the name's escaping me.
Was it Sambo's?
Yeah, I think it was, huh?
Was it?
I think so. I think it was Sambo's.
It was something like that, yeah.
But like if they could just like fit it out as
like way a retro.
It, right, as the way it looked in the 60s or something, that would be bad.
Like bring back the,
right.
Get rid of the like country decor and bring back like the retro.
That's what Joe's could use. It's just a complete renovation, and just because they got the other stuff right in that place, it's just just doesn't look.
I think you're right. Okay,
I know so I'm hungry for that. Joe's. I want to go to Joe's Steakhouse now.
Go for it. I'm hungry for pita kebab. I want some shawarma fries or got one it. Of. I had the spicy falafel wrap, and it was wonderful. Also, I did not have this. So when I was there for the Queens of the Stone Age tour, they had a beer on tap called the Fake News. And I was so wanting. I was like, I have to get the Fake
News. That was a local brewery.
Yeah, it was a local. I can't remember who
it was. It was either Full Circle or it might have been Rocky Hill.
It was Rocky Hill. Yeah, okay. It was Rocky Hill.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Rocky Hill, they had the Fake News. But then I didn't fake get news. So maybe I'll go back and see if it's still on tap. So, mm-hmm. So that speaking, that's a place that's doing very well. On the flip side of that, Herbauer Sporting Goods closing its doors after 80. Is it 80 years? How
was in
do
the
you remember?
70 plus. Okay. It might have been
it's a long time.
Felt like
it's a long time.
It might be off.
Place has been open. They're on Blackstone and.
Mm-hmm.
Between Sierra and Blackstone, between Sierra and Bullard.
Sierra and Bullard, somewhere.
Next to Yoshino's.
And before, it had been down on Abbey somewhere, I think. You know, on
before
Blackstone,
my
down
time,
Abbey.
Because I'm pretty young.
It would have been before your time. This was a long, long time ago. and depending on who you were talking to, it was either like a big loss. There were a lot of people who were like, oh man, that's a shame. And then other people that were like, good riddance. Nah,
what?
There were a lot of people.
Why would you say good riddance?
Well, I mean, there were a lot of people who just didn't like it, that place. They thought the customer service was terrible.
Oh, okay.
They just were like, no one ever, like, people stopped going. There was a lot of the sentiment that I saw was like, oh yeah, we never shopped there anyway because it kind of sucked. Which is not anything that I really knew about.
I never had any problems. I hadn't been there
in a year because I don't do sporting goods stuff.
Yeah.
But Merrick from the who writer for the Beat, had a great kind of take on it, which is that it's sad because, you know, here was a place that had everything under one roof. So, like, you had the hunting, you had the fishing, but you also had snowboarding, you had skateboarding, you had skiing, you had, there was the bike shop next door. So you had kind of everything that you could possibly want in terms of, you know, outdoor sort of recreation in one spot. And it was a local place.
Yep.
And now it's going to be another chain.
Is there a local sporting goods store now?
I don't believe so.
I don't think
there is. I think they were the last. I'm almost positive. And if someone knows and can tell,
were they
Clovis or something?
I'm not counting Clovis. Was it because of just the sales, or was it somebody?
Think that. And I would have to look at the stories again, but. I think that the owner is just, you know, he's at that point, he wants to do something else, he's done, and, you know, he can sell it all and make a big payday and kind of retire, and there it is, you know. So, which is, I think that's what we see with a lot of these places, you know. They've been at it for a long time, and at a certain point, it's like, well, okay, I'm done, you know, and sell it off.
It's
and
if like, there's no how one, do you, it's, how do you compete no against the internet,
over,
Dix, and REI?
Yeah. You know, and I mean, yeah, I mean, one of the things is that, you know, what the retail apocalypse or whatever that they keep talking about, where it's just like retail stores in general, just dumb.
Yeah.
And some stores, I think, are able to like thwart that, like the Apple store, I think, is an example. I think REI is probably doing pretty well because they do other kinds of things. It's not just like a warehouse, like a big box, like whatever. But in, you know, I'm not sure from what I gather, Herbauer, it wasn't a question of, sales, lagging sales, that kind of thing. I think that's probably what most people assume. Like, oh, how could they compete with Dick's? I mean, I don't think that really like helped them at all.
Yeah.
And what's the other one? Sportsman's Paradise or whatever.
Oh yeah. I know. I haven't even been in there, but yeah, I think that would be more direct. Right. REI's been there for a little while.
So. Right. So I think there were like, you know, there were some competition issues, but I think mostly it was just, you know, they're
just time to retire.
They've been there forever, and then yeah, time to retire. Guy could make a big payday, and so, yeah, that's what it was. But so that was big news for a lot of people, this week as well.
Dude, what else? Sad. Always sad to have closures.
It is sad with closures. And, you know, it's weird because
I remember
it's like
going into Copeland's and the Herbauer and the
Copeland's.
The place on.
I forgot about Copeland's.
Herndon and First. It's a little two story building. It's like a gym now. But where the TGA Fridays is.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
Now I can't remember the name. It was a funky name too. And they were big on skiing. They were big on skiing. But that just sucks. There's not a local.
You know, so remember not too long ago there was a talk about Arthur's Toys. And everyone
That was my favorite place as a kid.
Toys R Us is now closing though. On at least the one in Clovis will still be.
Yeah, the West Shaw Toys R Us. Yeah.
It's closing. I mean, I don't actually know if it's sad or not. I don't have kids. I don't shop for toys anymore because I'm a grown man. Yeah. and if I did shop for toys, I would be shopping online. But it's kind of sad. I did because I remember going to Toys R Us a lot, just like I remember going to Arthur's, some of these other toy places. Retail apocalypse, man. It's happening.
Damn.
It's happening. All right, what else? Is there anything else that's been
Going on that we need to talk about? Well, I'm surprised there wasn't any real controversy. It's happened pretty quick. They're tearing down two buildings on Fulton Street there to make way for that the Fraser development.
The new South Stadium project.
Yeah. That's going to be a cool thing when it's built.
Sounds like it.
They had to get rid of two, you know,
old, always been old there building. Buildings.
Since the 1920s or something. Yeah. I saw some on the Love of Down for the Love of Downtown Facebook page. That guy John Roop, mm-hmm. John, I think mm-hmm. that's how you pronounce his name, was talking about some of the bricks and stuff that, you know, were coming off of the building and kind of trying to date when it was. And I guess some of those buildings, so when they kind of when they tore it down and they pulled off the facade and all that, the old brick was still there. Uh-huh. That was pretty good. So I guess they're going to recycle that brick. And then I think Terrence Frazier was saying some of that brick will actually go back into other, like the project, you know, so some of it will be that's used cool. And kind of get and recycled.
I know
so.
That family a little bit that was that ran the shop in there.
Oh, uh-huh.
And she popped up on that, Kara, she popped up uh-huh. on that, that post on the Facebook uh-huh. thing and how she, you know, she grew up working in there when she was a kid and it was her grandma's place and mm-hmm. the dress shop.
Oh, okay. Uh-huh.
So if anyone's gonna like protest it, it would have been them, and they were just sort of like, just sort of melancholy about, you know, accepting that it's happening, yeah. And they weren't like, no, somebody's got to stop this. They're just like, oh right. Man, we just, you know, had to go down and see it for ourselves, and
for one
sort of reminiscing about it rather than just being like, no, don't tear this down. So I, well, you know, apparently they had to go.
Yeah. Well, was it safety issues?
I think it's just that it didn't. They for the size of their building that they're building,
they weren't able. Yeah.
They needed those two things to go down, and those places yeah. weren't being and hadn't been used up. For years or something. Yeah. Anyway.
Well, and I mean that's kind of the, you know, I mean you could argue that all of those buildings are unique, beautiful snowflakes and need to be saved, but you know we can't keep them all. And if something else is going to go in that place and it's something that can be, that we know or we think is going to be nice and well done. And I think Terrence Frazier has proven himself, with the Fultonia, yeah. And some other projects that I think it's going to be cool. So I'm very excited that it happened. And again, it's one of those things where it's like it's progress that's being made, down there. So you're seeing investments now. Coming in now that the road is open, so
yeah, I think I want to say that was going to happen without it. I know they think they've eventually said like it was, you know, Fulton Street was a big deal, but like they were looking into doing that before, and then the Fulton Street thing happened, and they used that lot for staging and for all their construction equipment, so they had that's to sit true, there yeah. and wait for that to get done so they could get started on that.
Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. It's going to be cool. There's going to be lofts looking out over Grizzly Stadium.
I know.
So that's going to be super rad. I'm all about that.
If it's
you're going to be moving in, huh?
If it's reasonably priced, heck yeah.
I think it said it was going to be $1,000 to $1,800.
No, out of my budget range. I could probably afford it. I just, you know, I have my little space down here. I don't mind.
Come on, don't get in overhead.
I'm just old, for that I'm old view. School down. I'm old school downtown.
But is can I? But
I'm old school Mural District.
Mural District. You mean Uptown?
I'm Uptown. Okay. Right.
Yeah, you confused me. I don't know what you're talking about. Just tell us. Just say. Just say Uptown.
Cultural Arts District. Arts Town.
Cultural but, Uptown Mural District. Uptown.
Yeah.
Is it safe to say now, am I safe to say that the whole touting of like, soon as this mall, as soon as the street goes in, all these investors are going to lose their minds. They're just sitting there waiting. And it seems like this is the only thing that was actually waiting. I mean, I'm sure things are happening behind the scenes.
There are some things happening. Right. There are some things not happening.
I think that the whole like selling us on like, oh man, when there's a street, the investors you're going to be able to shake them off with a stick. All these investors,
yeah.
And it smells of BS now. Now that okay. we're here, to me,
I mean, we haven't seen all that much of it. I don't think. So if it's behind the scenes, it's very well kept behind the scenes. I think that I think Merrick actually wrote a column about this, sort of looking at like 3 months down the line since the opening, you know, has the promise of the Fulton Street sort of come to fruition at all. And I think his point was like, not really. I mean, it looks better, you know, it definitely mm-hmm. like the feeling down there is much better. I think walking down there at night, especially way, you know, I think when people go to the baseball games this season, if they haven't been before, they're going to be blown away.
Yeah.
You know, so that being said, you know, there's still a bunch of buildings there that nothing is, you know, that are just empty. I think in his story, he pointed out that, you know, there are some, you know, buildings that are just waiting to do stuff. They had funding fall through, different things. So, you know, there are people that are trying, and it's, you know, it's just kind of difficult. So, yeah, I mean, I think maybe they probably oversold it a little bit in terms of like exactly how awesome it was going to be, but you know, it all takes time.
I'm still down with it. I'm just calling a spade a spade, I guess.
No, and it's good. I think that's where we need to be right now with it, is like keeping them on task, you know, and being like, all right, come on, now that you know. And I think that was Merrick's point in the column, was like kind of keeping people on task and going, okay, hey, what's going on here? You know, let's make sure that, you know, if there are buildings that are on the mall that maybe, you know, aren't up to code or whatever, why are they not up to code, and what can we do to get them there, and all those kind of things, so that we can start keeping the progress moving, you know, because the progress now has been, we definitely are making progress. Let's keep it going, you know? So.
The one thing that's going to kind of suck when that new building does go up, that's going to take away your view at the beer garden, at Tauga Beer Garden, of the Security Bank building.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That whole downtown skyline view is going to almost go away.
Yeah, you'll find it somewhere else. Hopefully they'll build a rooftop bar or something.
They've talked about that being
that rooftop bar, man. That's what we'll know.
Rooftop bar on top of there, looking over the stadium.
We will know that we've made it, right? Like when there's a rooftop bar that we can go to, and then we'll come back and we'll talk about it on the podcast. Oh my God, it was so good, or oh my God, it was so shit, whatever. When the rooftop bar happens, that's when we know
now we're
that
official
success. Official because that's city. The one they've been, how long have they been talking about that rooftop bar?
Yep.
And also, have you been to a rooftop bar anywhere else?
No.
Dude, okay. I was just, I don't know if they exist. Like, people talk about it, like, oh my God, rooftop bar. And you see it, like, right on TV and stuff. Yeah. I don't think I've ever been to a fucking rooftop bar.
Physically, I haven't been there, but I see pictures.
I don't know. I'm not interested. I mean, I've seen it in
Phoenix.
TV and whatnot.
Phoenix has some.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Denver. Right. I think Denver has a couple.
Okay, if you say they exist, then I believe you.
I did
you.
A
I
whole blog post on it, Josh. Possibly 300 whole words.
I must have missed that. I'll have to go back. Yeah. In. That's at thepresman.com.
Yeah,
for those who might want to, I'll have to go look. But okay, so they exist. All right.
By the way, before we plug it up here, update. Rainbow Ballroom, 2,500 seating, 2,500 people can go in the Rainbow.
Good job.
The Warner's Theater, 2,000.
So, bigger, larger.
Wow. So you can fit more people at a Rainbow Ballroom show.
Okay, so they say 2,500.
That's what the internet says. I'm just going by what the internet says.
I'm sure they fit more people in that guy. Okay, so Rainbow. Okay, so 2,500 people. Let's say they were gonna go. They're gonna
That's too big. That's too small for Queens of Stone Age, though.
Right.
There was no venue for Queens of Stone Age to play.
Right. That's what I'm saying. There is no venue of the appropriate size for Queens of Stoners. Because, well, see, in Fresno. Because, look, if the Queens of Stone Age play, how many, where do you think they would play in other places? Like, can you pull up their, can you pull up their tour? Like, where are they playing tomorrow?
Yeah, that's a good question. Like, are they playing arenas in big cities? Right, because
I wonder if they're playing arenas or if they're playing theater dates.
Yeah.
Because their stage setup and whatnot leads me to believe they're playing arenas. You know, just because the awesomeness of it. You know,
I don't know. That could have been a theater setup.
You think so? Okay, okay.
Because it was just they didn't even have any boards, like video boards. It was just those cool sticks they had.
They did not have video boards. That is true. That is true. Well, so because what I wonder is if they, you know, they play the sound arena sized venues in other cities, and just in other cities they're selling well because, mm-hmm. you know, other cities are, you know, more into rock music or whatever than they are here. But I felt the same way. I was like, I wish there was a venue that was larger than Rainbow Ballroom. That was the largest place.
We've had this discussion for 10 years.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I wonder if someplace like the Crest, let's say.
Yeah.
And I don't know how many people the Crest fits.
We've seen a metal show at Crest before.
It's probably smaller. Rob Zombie played at the Crest. So if Rob Zombie could play there, I would assume that Queens of the Stone Age could play there.
They're playing Friday at the Chelsea in the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas. Playing at the Forum in Los Angeles. That's a legitimate arena.
Right.
Old arena, like selling.
Right. So that's the size places they're playing. We just don't have anything kind of appropriate for
observatory that. Observatory in San Diego. North Park, the observatory.
Tempe I just wonder Beach if, you know,
Park. Wow, these are all weird-ass venues, dude.
I mean, yeah, maybe they're... I mean, I don't know. Mm. It just seemed... It seemed odd to me. I felt like it just... I would have liked to have seen it in a smaller venue, someplace where they just packed it out, and everyone there was, you know, packed in. I enjoyed myself. Like,
oh, yeah.
And it was kind of nice.
Yeah, it was kind of nice not being...
And I don't...
Overpacked.
Right. But what's crazy is I remember going to the Sound Arena and seeing, you know, Rush or whoever, and it just being completely sold out, and they're, you know, that place is packed. So to see it like that was kind of sad to me.
I've been at Pearl Jam show there. It was sold out.
3 days before, I had been at Save Mart Center to see Brad Paisley, and it was like packed from, you know, top to bottom. And so, not that Brad Paisley wasn't wonderful or whatever, but, it was just a kind of stark contrast. Anyway.
All right. Sorry. Tangented us. That's it. I tag it's tied up. Plug it up.
Okay. Go. You start.
Oh, man. I've been out of it for past couple weeks, but the Fresno.com blog.
My favorite local blog.
There's so many to choose from, Josh. It's hard to decide on just one.
So you are Fresno, yes. So you guys need
to do this. Yep. The real estate site and me. That's what we're doing out there.
Fresno.com blog site. What else?
Yeah, and the other podcasts around here.
The Dorktown Network of Podcasts.
Dorktown Network, little baby network. Dorktown Comedy Show with the producer Becky and Bells.
And are you back?
Yeah, we're back. We're just, I think we're going to be doing kind of what we do here is a once a month kind of thing.
Once a month. That's perfect.
And then get off my podcast, the Harrison Ford Show.
Harrison Ford podcast.
Woo! Did you see the new Han Solo trailer?
I saw the trailer. What do you think?
Oh man, looks cool. I'm excited about it.
It looks pretty good, right? Lando looks camp as all hell.
Yeah,
I thought he looked good in his little fur coat. I don't know what kind of fur he's wearing. That porg? Is it porg? You think it's
you belong fur coat? With us amongst the clouds? Porgs?
Is it made of is it Ewok fur? That's what
Who knows? Maybe he just shaved Chewy. He just took some shavings off Chewy. Yeah. Chewy.
So there's the Harrison Ford podcast, and then the craft beer podcast.
Perfect Pour Craft Beer Show.
Lots of
local talk. So if you're just like, I only listen to local shows, plenty of local beer talk in there.
Lots of local stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then also you guys have some beers, and then people call in, and it's real fun.
Oh, yeah.
Scotty B calls good in time. All the time. You know, whatever.
Scotty B. Okay. Hey, Chief, it's me, Scotty B. And I'm driving!
There's a whole voicemail thing there. You can leave voicemails for Flight of Famous, too. 559-492-0542. That is the voicemail line. It's usually mostly used for Proof of Pour, so you might want to just, like, while you're leaving the voicemail, give us a heads up. Like, this is for Flying with Famous. I disagree with your Fulton Street assessment. You guys suck ass.
Right.
If you want to leave a voicemail like that.
I would love for us next episode to have a voicemail to be able to play. So.
Oh, that was popular listener to the Perfect Pour. Chew Your Beer was like, he's Chew Your Beer saying something to us on Twitter, and you actually replied to him about, because Chew Your Beer came here to town for the show for the Perfect Pour, and he stayed at downtown at the Club One there, the hotel at Club One.
I always Hilton.
Yeah, used to be Holiday Inn, whatever. And he was asking something about somebody staying in town for the weekend or something. No, I forget. I'm sorry, Chew. But we'll get to that.
Did I give good advice? Did I?
Oh yeah. Reply, oh yeah. You gave
good.
Of course.
I was like,
great ambassador, great Fresno ambassador, Joshua T. What are you doing right now, Josh? What's going on?
So I will plug my day job at the Fresno Bee and FresnoBeehive.com. And all the cool stuff that I do there. So much of what we talk about on this show actually comes from, what I do at the Fresno Bee and paying attention to all my other coworkers down there who do great, great stuff, and who I really think care about cool stuff in Fresno. So I'll say that if you want to know about what's happening, you want a little more in depth. If you hear something that we're talking about and you think like, that doesn't sound quite right.
So like all the time,
because we don't really fact check on this show. So fake news.
Your collegian editor would be very displeased with your fact checking on this show.
Probably that is 100%. Then I have my various musical projects. It'll Go Back, punk rock band that I am in. We haven't done stuff in a while, but it still exists, and we'll probably get around to doing some stuff soon. I have a new project called The Dang It Bobbies, punk rock project as well. Trying to, we're practicing it up with some players, trying to get a live show together at some point. So
nice.
That could happen. Big Balls is always a possibility. That's my ACDC tribute. Tribute band. There's always that could happen.
It's anyway. Always a possibility.
Someone could call and be like, "Hey, we need an ACDC tribute band," and we will be there, ready to rock. Let's see what else. That might be it. Oh, if you're into the martial arts,
yeah.
I also do a Aikido podcast called Aikido Discussed, where we talk about Aikido, and it's a little inside of baseball.
If you're into Aikido, you're gonna like it.
You gotta be into it. But I know some people who aren't and kind of just have been listening, and there's also some, you know, if you're interested, like you've heard about it, or, you know, you see Steven Seagal or whatever, you're like, huh,
I want to be like that guy.
I want to know more about this. You can check out the podcast. You know, we have some good information there. So there is that. And that might be it. That's probably enough, I think, for right now.
The Beehive Podcast? So, you're talking about the Beehive Podcast?
Oh, no. There's also a Fresno Beehive Podcast. Yeah, where we do pop culture stuff. Me and Rory Appleton, Jody Murray, some other people there at the Bee. Some other people. There are two wonderful women who kind of rotate, Mackenzie Mays and Brianna Calix.
Wow. Mackenzie Mays. Appleton. What a year for Mackenzie Mays, I know, huh?
Right? Yeah.
Oh, man.
Killing it. Also, Rory Appleton's wife, Alex, is on the podcast from time to time. So it's just a rotating cast, really. Me and Jody and Rory kind of hold it down. And then we bring in one of three of the other women because we feel like, and sometimes more than one. But we feel like we don't want it to be a boys' club, you know, in this current climate. And so so we bring them on. And it's cool. It's fun stuff. It's a pop culture podcast. So we generally, like, take whatever's the big kind of pop culture story. So, you know, this week coming up, it would probably be, like, Super Bowl stuff. And just kind of break it down. What do we think? What do we see? Blah, blah, blah. What are people talking about? And it's always really fun. So that's at Fresno Bee, beehive.com. You can find it there and listen to it. So.
All right.
There it is. That's, we did it.
Woo! We did it.
We made it.
February in Fresno.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening, everyone. Appreciate it. Talk about it amongst your Fresno friends. Don't tell any Clovis. Don't tell your Clovis friends about it.
No.
They have no use for this. They have no use for being cool.
And I will tell you this. If someone were to start a Clovis podcast,
yeah,
I swear to God, I will start a competitive Clovis podcast just to shut them down. I mean, I'll do it. I don't even live in Clovis.
I will go to
Clovis and hang out, like, just so that I could get some stuff so that I could write a Clovis podcast. Because I feel like... Clovis, we're the ones to do
don't
it.
Worry, Josh. Clovis isn't creative enough. For that.
They don't. They're not. Whoa, okay. Woo. Someone's going to do it now. I just feel like they're
going to. Although there is that. There's like some sort of.
Going with Clovis.
There's some sort of new beer bar in downtown Clovis.
No.
That I'm slightly interested in.
What's it called?
It's got the self-pour system. I don't know what it's called. But nobody's talking about it. So I'm like.
Hey. Perfect pour, dude. Answer me this. Is Round Table Pizza stealing me and Ed's tap, me and Ed's on tap?
Are they doing that? Round Table?
I think I have seen, it's like, is there a Round Table like on First and something here in Fresno?
Bullard, First and Bullard.
First and Bullard, okay.
That's me and Ed's now. Wait.
Huh?
No, they used to be Round Table. Maybe that's me and Ed's now.
The thing I saw was it was Round Table something and something. It was like Round Table, blah blah blah. But inside they had like the same sort of serve yourself beer system, the whole thing. So I feel like
the only Round Table I know is Shaw and West.
Round Table is like, I don't know. Anyway,
Round Table's good.
Do some research. Get back to me on that one. Because I just saw a post on, I think it was on the Fresno Craft Beer Lovers Central Valley Craft Beer Lovers Facebook page. Anyway, I saw something and I was like, is Round Table just totally stealing me and Ed's ideas? I mean, that's great if they are. Tisk. But yeah. Anyway, all right, we're done. Let's be done.
That's
with
enough.
It. We've diverged enough for tonight. But thanks, everyone, for listening. Thank you, Mike, for doing this for us.
Thank you, Josh. Let's count it out.
You count it out this time. I'm tired of counting it out.
Oh, God. Oh, no. 5, 4, 3, 2. Beer! Watch out for the food.